Hello, and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is the message given on Sunday morning, August 23rd, 2015, by Tom Job from 2 Timothy chapter 1.
Morning, everybody. I'm going to give you a shout out. Minnie Bouchard is here this morning, and she just finished basic training with the Navy and on her way to Jacksonville, Florida. So, way to go, Minnie. We're super thankful. That probably wasn't fair. Okay, I want to treat you guys out of... This comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of the spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And this grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who destroyed life and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. If you were looking that up, like following that in your own Bible, the place where you see the number 8, like verse number 8, stick your thumb on it. Just put your thumb right on it and hold it there. Oh, Lord Jesus, we do love you so much. And I ask you to help us, help me. And I guess I just pray whatever happens here. I pray that everybody would go home encouraged. They'd go home with a light heart. They would go home in love with Jesus, just loving him and praising him more than when they came. I know sometimes I've heard people say, you know, well, I don't know why people go to church. It's just that thing where they try to pump you up for the rest of the week. And it's like, yeah, that's what it is. So make it happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, I do have, this is a little bit, it's kind of an announcement, but this is going to be my last message at Christ Community until 2 weeks from today, because Lee's doing next week, but I just thought about that. What if it was? Like, what if this was my very last one? I was trying to figure out the other day from when we started this church. I guess I've kind of calculated maybe I've done this an average of 47 times a year since we started, which makes it 943 times I've done this. So if I repeated a joke or two, excuse me, but no, just kidding. But I thought, what would I tell you if this was my very last time to ever do this? And I was thinking about, well, this past Wednesday at the Morgan County Prison, we had an orientation for all the guys that were taking the classes that we offer through Focus. And I'm going to teach a class on marriage because a lot of those guys are married and trying to keep their marriages, and some are going to get married when they get out. So, but a lot of the guys, it was the first time they had ever heard me. So I thought, okay, the first time I ever talked to guys, what am I going to do? So I told them a bunch of jokes about marriage, which they liked. I told them the one about, some of you know this, visitors probably don't, but there was this little girl who was 6. And she was playing Wedding with Ken and Barbie when her mom walked in the room. And she was just at the point where she said, okay, are you ready to take your vows? Repeat after me. You have the right to remain silent. Everything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to have a lawyer present. You may kiss the bride. But they... And I told them about the couple that they were asking couples who had been married 50 years plus, what was the secret of a happy marriage? And the guy said, my secret has always been always to remember there is no I in the word marriage. And his wife said, my secret has been I stopped correcting him a long time ago. But and this was true. That a couple that got divorced after 70 years, and they were interviewing them and asked them, really, after 70 years of marriage, why did you get divorced? And they said, well, we actually wanted to do it, you know, a while back, but we were so embarrassed, we decided that we needed to wait until all of our children were dead. And so they did. But anyway, I thought, well, okay, what if this was... This was my last time to ever, and we're moving to New Zealand this week, and I would never see you guys again. And I thought, what would I say if it was my last time? And I would probably say, you know, not including reading the scripture and praying, maximum 27 minutes was always my goal. And I ask your forgiveness for all the times that I didn't stay within my goal, but it was probably like 923 times. But the other day I had to listen because I had to give a talk that I had given here to another thing, place, and I was trying to read my notes and I didn't understand them. So I had to figure out, I have almost never done this, but go on our podcast and listen to a voice of, listen to myself, give a message. And I thought if this was my last time, I would probably apologize for every sentence that I ever started that I didn't finish in here, which would be about 7,000,300. But I thought, what if I had the courage? Like, this is my last time, and I'm never going to see anyone again because we're moving to New Zealand to be missionaries. If this was my last time, would I have the courage to say things that I've always wanted to say but never could say? What would it be? And it could possibly be, you know, that time twice a year that we have that Saturday morning work day here to keep this old building fixed up and you never come? Seriously? I probably wouldn't say any of that stuff. I was probably just... tell you all, I was reading an article, and it was about phone messages on the morning of 9/11 that people who were trapped in the two towers and they knew they weren't going to get out, and they called someone to leave them a message, the last message, and it was always, I just want you to know that I love you. And that's probably what I would say. I just want you to know that I love you and I wish I could see you again. This article said there was no one who said on their messages, called someone to say, you know, you really did hurt my feelings. Or nobody called anyone to tell them, I just want you to know that I never did like you. Or, you know, and nobody called anyone to say, vote for Smith. You know, just none of that stuff. But... like 2 Timothy is Paul, he was writing this letter from a dungeon to Timothy, and he said in chapter 4, I hope to see you again, and I hope you bring me some stuff that I need you to bring me, but I may never see you again, and I may never talk to you again. And I think, well, if it was his last thing to say, what would he say? What is the most important thing that I need to tell you? And if you have your thumb on verse 8, it's right underneath it. And if you pull it away, he said, don't be ashamed to testify about Jesus. Don't be ashamed of that. The word testify is actually, you know, he wrote in the Greek language, and it really comes from, it's the word martireo, where we get the word martyr. And you think, well, a martyr is somebody who dies for their faith in Jesus. But it didn't originally mean that. Like in the time when they were writing this stuff, the word martireo just meant to give a witness or a testimony. Like in court, you would say, this is what I saw. I'm just telling you what I saw. And that's really what they did. The people who first walked with Jesus and who talked about him after he had gone into heaven. And he said, you will be my witnesses. And it's this word. And it's what they did. Like there's in the Gospel of John, who, you know, John was like one of the guys who really followed Jesus from the very beginning. And in his, you know, telling of it, He never calls himself by name because he was kind of modest or something, or bashful or whatever. But he always talks about the other disciple or the disciple that Jesus loved. And he meant himself. And sometimes he would add little details. Like in chapter 1, he talked about the day that he first saw Jesus. And they had a conversation. And then he went and spent time with Jesus. And he said it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And you think, well, why did you say that? And John would probably tell you, that's the first time I ever laid eyes on him, and I will never forget it. There's a place where Jesus told those guys, like they had been fishing all night, and they hadn't caught any fish, and so he yelled at them, throw your nets one more time on the other side of the boat, which they did. And John said, and we caught, I think it's 153 big fish. And you're like, well, why did you say that? Well, because he's a fisherman, and that's probably why. So that's a lot of them. That's a lot of them. But there's a place in chapter 19 where when our Lord was dead, and when people died of crucifixion because of the loss of blood, they would die of hypovolemic shock. Their blood would become so thick. And their heart, there's a membrane around the heart that would fill with a clear liquid like water. And John is the one who told us that there was one of the soldiers that stuck his spear under Jesus's ribs. And it pierced his heart and it pierced that sac. And the first thing that came out was that kind of watery stuff, and then thick blood, and they were separate. And John said, water and blood came out. I saw it. And because I was there. And he talked in the next chapter about he was one of the first, well, he was the second person to ever go into the tomb where Jesus was, had been laid and risen from the dead. And when Jesus had died, they buried him in these cloth with like 100 pounds of spice that became, it was kind of like a mummy from here down, and then around the person's head, they would wrap a cloth. And John went in there and he said, you know what I saw was this mummy-like thing was laying there. And then there was a space, and then the cloth that had been around his head, they were just laying there. And I realized he was risen, and he just passed through them. And people have said that's just a detail that no one would know except an eyewitness. And that's what they did. And then what happened, it turned into that other word about someone who would be willing to die for their faith. Because like they were telling everyone that Jesus was risen from the dead, and like we've seen him risen from the dead. And then they got arrested, and then people started to threaten them and said, stop talking about this. And Peter said in chapter 4 of the book of Acts, you got to decide for yourself whether it's right for us to obey God or obey you, but we cannot stop talking about what we've seen. We're just telling you what we've seen. And then they began to beat them. And they said, do whatever you need to do. Then they began to stone them. And then they began to kill them. And they said, do what you have to do. But we're talking about what we have seen. And so there's this place where Paul may be telling Timothy, don't be ashamed to talk about what you know, what you have seen, what you have experienced about Jesus. And you think, well, why would anybody be ashamed to talk about him? I mean, there's a lot about kind of Christians, I guess, down through history that you could be ashamed of, probably would be good to be ashamed of. In some countries, it's difficult to talk about Jesus because they have super long memories. And they bring up the Crusades, which the idea of burning and pillaging in Jesus' name was a terrible idea. There was one person named Saint Francis of Assisi who said, This is not the message of Jesus. This is terrible. He got on a ship and sailed to Egypt, where the Sultan al-Kamil, who was the head of the king of the Muslim forces who were defending themselves against attacks of the Christians, had his palace. And Saint Francis walked into his palace and asked to talk to the Sultan, who was the nephew of Saladin the Great. And because he wanted to talk to him about Jesus. And so the Sultan got a big carpet that it had crosses on it. And he said, because he could have, trying to talk him into believing in Jesus, he could have, Francis could have lost his head. And so he said, if he walks on those crosses, he's a fake and we'll cut his head off. He walked into the thing and walked right on the crosses. And he said, you walked on the crosses. And he said, no, these are not these crosses that represent burning and pillaging. It's not the cross that has conquered my heart. The cross that conquered my heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that his cross will conquer your heart as well. But being ashamed to talk to people about Jesus, we should never be, because people need Jesus Christ, and to know about him, and to know what you know about him, and what you've experienced about him more than any other thing. And Paul, he would say, this is my last message. This is what I'm going to tell you. And I got thinking about this, like, what if, we're going camping, like Tina and I are going camping this week. And I thought, what if I did get like eaten by a bear, you know? And I made that joke about what if this was my last message ever. And what if it turned out to be? Like I got eaten by a bear or something. And then somebody here said, put it on their Facebook page, a link to like our church website, and said, hey, you ought to hear this message by our pastor. He said, what if this was my last message? And it turned out he was eaten by a bear this week. And then like, what if that kind of went viral and people listened to this like all over America? And I knew that I had a chance to talk to Christians from beyond the dead, like all over America. I knew one guy, and he was always trying to share with his golf buddies about Jesus, and they never would listen. And he made some of you don't know, older people will, but he made a cassette tape message, and he said, at the graveside, I want you to play this with a tape recorder. It's for my friends. And so they played it, and he just started addressing all of his golf buddies. Walt, I tried to talk to you about Jesus, like every time we played golf, you'd never listen. Now I'm dead, Walt. Who's going to talk to you about Jesus if you don't believe in him? But anyway, but I thought, what if I had the chance to give a message and it went all over America and people listened to it because it went viral or something because I got eaten by a bear. And what would it be? And I would probably say, if I could, to the Christians in America, nothing matters more than this. People need Jesus. Stop being so angry. It's not helping us. It's not becoming. It's not healthy for you. If it's watching that cable news that is making Christians so angry, stop watching it. It's not helping the cause of Jesus. Stop being angry because you live in a country full of sinners. Where did you think you were? You're one. I mean, I would say, stop judging everyone. Our Lord Jesus said, don't judge anyone. And we say, well, I'm going to. And it's like, okay, but it's not right to judge people because they disobey Jesus, in that judging them is disobeying Jesus. It's just like, I would probably want to say, the things that you devote yourself and your time and your money to, things that matter. Do not be sacrificing your life for things that matter. I saw a sign this past week that said, Vol forever. No one will be a Vol forever. No one will be. And I love sports. I love them. But sports are fun. That is it. They're just fun. Devote what we need more than any other thing is people who would devote themselves to loving other people for Jesus and nothing else. Just that. That before my life is over, I want to see how far I can go with that and how many people I can love for Jesus and tell them why he is the one that they need and not be ashamed of it. I read a verse this week that was so, what does that mean? In Matthew chapter 8, that Jesus said of people that he loves and people he's going to bring to heaven, but he said, but if you're ashamed of me, on that day, I'm going to be ashamed of you. And I thought, what could that possibly mean? Except, you know, I thought about the fact that for some people, to talk about Jesus, it's just awkward and kind of uncomfortable, and because they're really devoted to other stuff and, you know, to things that really don't matter. And that's where they're devoting their life and their time. And then the moment they're in heaven and we're standing before him and we're so loved. And Jesus said, and this is my son, Victor Nondegon. Oh, man. Hey, Victor. This is my son, Walt. Whoa, this is awkward. You know what I mean? Maybe for a second, it'll just be awkward. Because Walt didn't care a bit. And he had said, the moment I go into heaven, I'm going to do the gator jaw. Or I'm going to yell, Roll Tide. And then the second he got there, he realized that was a terrible idea. That it was so inappropriate. Because nothing could have possibly mattered less at that moment than the fact that I devoted my life to loving him and loving people who needed him. And Paul said, don't be ashamed to testify about Jesus. Don't be ashamed of it because people need him. Maybe that's what Paul said, but it's possible that he was saying something else. I hate to feel like I'm doing like a magic trick or anything, but you know, like when you say, well, the Greek really says, but in some versions it says, don't be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus. And I think in the NIV it says, don't be afraid to testify about Jesus. But it does really say, don't be afraid of the testimony of Jesus, which could mean one of two things. It could mean to talk about him or the testimony of Jesus, what Jesus testified, his witness about me. There's a place in the book of Revelation where he's called the faithful and the true witness. And he had stuff to say about you and me. And it's important that we're not ashamed of that. One night, there was an old man in John chapter 3, and he wanted to talk to Jesus about some questions that he had. And Jesus gave him some answers that were kind of perplexing, and he didn't understand them. And Jesus said, if I'm telling you about things that I know about, like on earth, how would you ever believe, and you don't believe that, you struggle to believe that, how would you ever believe what I tell you about what I know from heaven? Because I've seen things that nobody else has seen. And I know things that nobody else has known because nobody ever else has ever come down to earth from heaven but me. So if I'm giving you my witness of what I know about stuff, it's super important to be open to that. The man, his name was Nicodemus, and he was an old guy. And he did have a lot of questions because he was committed to living a life of obeying a million rules and laws and regulations to try to be a better person and to make himself worthy of like God and the kingdom of God and all that, and to pay for the mess ups that he had made by doing a lot of good things. And he knew that he was at the end of his kind of life, sort of, and thinking about, okay, this is kind of it, and this is my only chance, and I've done what I've done, but how do I know it's enough? How do I know that I've done enough to get into the kingdom of God at the end? And Jesus told him, you have to be born again. And he said, I'm old. How can I be born again? Can I crawl back up into my mother and be born again? And I'm like, thank you for that visual. We could have done without it, but you know, it's kind of crazy. But I mean, he kind of meant, I'm old. I mean, what? And Jesus said to him, are you a teacher in Israel and you don't understand this? Actually, he said in the Greek again, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't understand this? Nicodemus, you are confused. You might think you're wise, but you're confused. And it's worse than that. All the stuff that you've done, it hasn't worked. It hasn't made you worthy. And you're lost. And it's worse than that, because you need to be born again, not only in your heart, in your spirit, but you need to be born again of water. You need to be clean. You need to be washed. You are confused, lost, and polluted, and dirty. You want people to think that you are wise, worthy, and wonderful. But you're not. I was reading this article the other day about selfies and how there's an app that you can get that can like Photoshop your selfie, make you thinner, clear up your skin, make you taller than you actually are on your selfie when you take a picture of yourself, and broadcast it to the wider world. And this one girl said, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, because I think it's legitimate to want to present your best brand. And it's like, wow. So you're like a brand. This is my brand. And I'm presenting my best brand. And I would do anything it takes to make people think that I am wise, worthy, and wonderful. I am wonderful. And Jesus's testimony is that isn't true. That isn't true, Nicodemus. And it's important for you not to be ashamed of this, but you are confused, lost, and guilty. One time, his friends, Nicodemus's, you know, buddies they were in this thing with him, and they had a super big problem with Jesus, because this is in Luke chapter 15. And they were like, why do you hang out with the people that you hang out with? They're all confused and lost and polluted. You should hang out with us. We are wise, worthy, and wonderful. And so Jesus told them three stories. And one of them was about a man who had 100 sheep, and he lost one. The sheep just got lost. Just wandered off, thought he knew where he was going. And then he didn't, because they're so stupid. That we had him at one point. I think I've told you guys this, but we had these sheep down at our house. And I would have to take them in October or something, down the street to our neighbor, because her yard has a lot of stuff growing in it. So they'd go there for the winter and eat all their stuff. It's for their best. And I had to put them in my truck. You know that thing, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me? Whatever. I was like, can you hear those sheep? They wouldn't come. I would have to chase them into a corner, fake left, spin move, go to the right, tackle them. They're kicking. I didn't know this, but when they're upset, I'm like, you're pooping on me. They poop. That's how they express their anguish, is they poop on you and pee on you and they kick you with face. I'm Bilbo Baggins. I'm not trying to harm you. I'm trying to help you, but they're just so stupid and they're just confused. And the sheep was just confused. And he told a story about a woman who had 10 coins and she lost one. It was just a coin. It was like an ordinary coin. It wasn't $1 million. It was a quarter. It was like a quarter. And I mean, it looked like every other quarter, but it could do what a quarter can do, which is not much, but it's at least it's that. But not this one, because it had fallen somehow and rolled under the couch or somewhere. And now it was lost. And he told a story about a sheep that was confused, a coin that was lost, and a man who had a son. And he took all of the money that his dad owed him or whatever, and he went out with his crazy friends, and he went crazy, and he spent it all, and he did a lot of terrible things. And then he was polluted. He was just dirty. He was just guilty. And Jesus said, this is my testimony. This is my witness. You're not wise, worthy, and wonderful. Everybody's confused, lost, and guilty. And dirty. And the greatest thing that you could possibly do is to embrace it. Like, not to be ashamed of it, but to embrace it. I just finished reading again a book that I read years ago. It's the greatest book ever. It's by a guy named C.S. Lewis. And it was called The Great Divorce, and it's about a guy who has a dream. It's not like real or anything. He wasn't saying it's like real. But every year there was a bus of people who lived in hell, and they were all grumpy down there, and they could get on a bus and go to heaven. And if they wanted to, they could stay. And most people didn't want to, because in order to stay here, I'd have to admit that I was wrong about this, admit that I was wrong about that, or that I did this, or I was wrong, or that I'm not the wonderful person that I would like people to believe that I am. And there was a guy there in heaven trying to talk this woman into staying. And he was pointing out some things about her attitudes that had always been wrong. And she said, okay, of course, I'm wrong. Everything I say and do is wrong according to you. And he said, but of course, shining with love and mirth, that's what we all find out when we reach this country, that we've all been wrong. That's the great joke. There's no need to go on pretending that one is right. After that, we can begin living. And the reason that it's like the greatest day ever, when I just embrace that about myself, that I'm not the person that I hope people thought, but that I have been so confused and not worthy and just, you know, dirty, is because Jesus had amazing testimony to give about himself. That he is a if I'm a sheep and I'm confused, he said, but I'm a shepherd. And I'm a shepherd that will I'll never give up on you. And I never am disappointed in you, because I never expected you to be anything other than confused. And I'll never get tired of you, and I'll never get sick of you, and I'll never stop till I get you where you need to be, and I'll never stop until you're home. And he said, if you're like a coin that's lost and it's just a quarter and nobody really knows and nobody really cares, I know you're missing. And I know you're down there. And I am not only a shepherd, but I am a seeker. And when I find you, I'm going to have a party. And I'm going to invite all my friends. I found my quarter. And they're like, you spent $75 on this party for a quarter. Yeah, I did. So some people say that that coin, like the idea of 10 coins, some biblical scholars say that it was a coin that women would have in a necklace that was kind of like their engagement ring. It wasn't that it was a quarter, but it was that quarter. It was just, it just had sentimental value. It's just a place in his heart. I bought Tina an engagement ring. And at a place called Service Merchandise, which was kind of like Costco back in the day. And I was a garbage man at the time, and I paid all the money I had for it. It cost, including tax, $127. The diamond was so small that you had to have a high barometric pressure system come through in order to see it. And she took it, and she said she would marry me. And when we were in seminary, there came a time when we were so poor that we didn't have any food, and a guy was coming through taking advantage of seminary students who lived in trailers, and he was buying jewelry, and we had to sell that ring. And it wasn't worth very much, but I would give a lot more than $127 if I could ever have it back. He's a seeker. He's a shepherd of the confused and a seeker of the lost. And he's not going to stop until he has me back and has my heart back. And he's a son from heaven. There was a son who left his father's house for fun. And he wasted everything he had. And he wound up alone. And that story was told by another son, God the Son. And he left his father's house for love. And he gave everything he had. And it was to have you and to have me. And when I just embrace who I really am, and I'm not ashamed of what Jesus says about me, and I just, okay, I'll embrace it. I find that I have a Savior who is so sweet and so beautiful and so awesome and everything a loser like me needs. And I fall in love with him and I want to devote my life to him. Then I'm never going to be ashamed to tell people what he's done for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. We love you so much, and that you would love us when we were so pathetic and so pitiful, and sometimes we still are, and sometimes we struggle to admit it, but we shouldn't. It should be the greatest thing and the freeingest thing to admit, I'm a mess, but I have someone who loves messes like me, and he's made my life new, and he's made my life his, and he's given my life meaning, and he's filled my heart with love, and I know why I'm on earth, and I know what matters, and I know what I want to give myself for, loving him back, and letting other people know how much he loves them. In his precious name, amen.
To find out more about Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, visit our website at c3oakridge.org. Again, that's c3oakridge.org.